Sport.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for, what's the date today? For May 26th, 2017. And I want to thank you for joining me today. Going to have another one of our Rogue Talk potpourri shows, and that's just code for I don't have anything prepared. No, not entirely true, but I don't have a guest for you today. I actually did want to get a couple of the senior students from the high school on. Of course, with the sports wrapping up, I wanted to talk to a couple of the athletes from a couple of the teams, but unfortunately, they're on a really fun trip today, and they left early this morning on a bus, so they were not available for today's show. So first thing I'm going to do is I want to ask you if you would like to call into the show. I would love to talk to you today. We've got a few things we're going to talk about on today's show, a few things in the news that I at least find interesting, if not something we should pay attention to. And then, so the number to call in is 541-299-0498. Once again, that's 541-299-0498. And I'd love to hear from you. We got plenty of things to talk about, but if you got something else you want to talk about, call in and let's see what's going on around our community. And you can also reach the show by email at feedback@943thebridge.com. And you can also message me on the Rogue Talk Facebook page. And I'd be happy to talk to you there as well. So let's look at what's going on locally in the news. If you read the Rogue River Press, you probably saw that the Rock is closing. And it's kind of a sad story. The Rock has been, well, if you don't know what the Rock is the Rogue Outreach Center. And it opened up in February of 2010. And not only has it been a after school, a place for kids to go after school from grades 4 through 6, but they've also done all kinds of enrichment activities. I mean, you name it. In fact, yeah, my son, for one school year, I believe he was going over to the Rock and taking advantage of that. And it's been a great program. And apparently they've lost the lease. And, you know, there's kind of a two sides to this. On one hand, you hate to see that this great program is losing a lease. And they mentioned in the article that they, you know, been trying to find another place, but, you know, it's hard here in town to have something that's, you know, close enough in proximity to the school and large enough to house their program and, you know, also be affordable. And so they have not been able to find a new location. So they're going to have to close down. But the reason I say there's kind of two sides to this, and I don't mean one side against the other, but there's two aspects to this. If they're losing their lease, why is that? Is there something that the owner of the building has coming in? You know, is there some kind of business that's going to move in there that's, you know, going to be a positive thing for the community? And so in that respect, it's good. We want to see business thrive in this community. In such a small community, we see businesses come and go, and we'd like businesses to stay right here and to do well here. And so in that, you know, from that aspect, it could be a good thing that's happening. But it's obviously it's not good for the Rock, and it's, we don't want to see them have to close. But on the other hand, we've seen similar situations where there's places that are vacant that could be hosting a business, could be hosting a thriving business. And a couple of them that come to mind are both out in Weimar. In fact, they're right across the street from one another. And that would be the used to be the Weimar Way Cafe. And then there is the Evans Valley Trading Post former location, which before that was Craig's Market. And I don't know the history before that because that goes before I lived here. But I know, for instance, that the Evans Valley Trading Post, the owner of the property is not who was running the store that was there. And in fact, the fellow that ran the store, I had talked with him on a couple of occasions because I'm in the landscape business. I do maintenance. And he needed some cleanup work done around the property. And then not too long after that, you know, he told me he was closing down and that, you know, he was going to have to move out of there. And since that time, and that's been a while ago, I don't want to guess at how many, you know, it's definitely been over a year. It's probably been two or three at this point, but I've kind of lost track. But in that case, that building is sitting there vacant. What was a thriving store. Now, I'm sure there's a reason, you know, maybe some reasons for that. And maybe in the future, we'll see what those reasons were. But at this moment, it's a building that's sitting vacant. It's not being used. So why did the store have to, you know, be kicked out of there just so that it could sit empty? And there doesn't appear to be any kind of activity there as far as like remodeling or that kind of thing going on. And then the Weimar Way Cafe, there's been people that, oh, you know, if the people that were running it, you know, can't do it, you know, somebody else could open it there. And apparently it doesn't have anything to do with the people that want to run the restaurant. It has to do with the owner of the property. And again, I'm not getting into the issues of, you know, oh, what are these people doing and whatever, but it shows an example of where tenants have been removed and then the property just sits vacant. And of course, we don't know the backstories. I mean, some people know here and there about it, but I don't know the backstories to any of these situations. But I just hope that whatever is going on with that property, that it turns into at least something else that's good for the community and, you know, turns into a positive thing. And unfortunately, it's in such a small town. There's just not that many choices of locations where the rock could move. You know, and I don't know if there would be some sort of, you know, arrangement that could have been made with maybe with the school district or, you know, with maybe with the charter school. And that probably wouldn't be close enough to the existing elementary school, the two campus elementary school. So there's a lot of things that go into that. And it's just an unfortunate thing. I think The Rock has been a great, great program. And I'm sorry to see it go. And I hope that maybe in the future we can see it revived. So another story that was in the paper, and I think we talked about this a little bit previously on Rogue Talk. They finally had the groundbreaking for Dove Place, and Dove Place is a Habitat for Humanity development that's going to be started. And so they finally broke ground for that last week. And so, you know, that's a good thing. I like Habitat for Humanity because it requires the buy-in and it requires, you know, the partnership with the future homeowner. And that, I think that sweat equity goes a long way. And it doesn't matter, you know, if we're talking about adults or we're talking about kids. I've had the same philosophy with my children all along. You know, my kids have in the past have acquired a fair amount of nice things that they wanted to have, but I didn't buy those things for them. You know, the one example I would give is two of my kids at different times had wanted to buy an iPad, and we made the deal with them that they would earn the money to buy it, and I made a matching deal with them, but I didn't match 50% or anything like that. I matched like the last, I don't know, $25 or $50. I don't even recall at this point, but they did the work, they earned the money, and then they decided to purchase the item that they wanted to buy. And I think in this day, that seems to be kind of a lost thing. It's like we don't expect our kids to work for anything or to earn anything. I often get people that come to me and they say, you know, I've got a lot of side jobs to do, some weed eating and this and that. And I don't do a lot of extras. I do mainly strictly my maintenance route. And so if there's extra jobs, occasionally I do some of those. But a lot of times they'll ask me, hey, you know, I'd like to find some kids that can do this. And, you know, up until recently, I really didn't always know what to tell them. Now, more recently, because of my involvement with FFA, I always encourage them to contact the school and get in touch with the FFA, because a lot of those kids definitely understand how to work. They know how to do the work, and it's worked out well. In fact, the most recent one, the fella came to me just this week and said, "Hey, I did what you said. I called over there, and we've got a kid lined up that actually is, you know, trying to do his own business. Him and a buddy, and they're going to come and do the work. And so hopefully that works out, and he's going to be very happy with that. But you know, that seems to be more and more the exception instead of the rule. And I don't know, when I was growing up, you know, I was expected for a, you know, at least a short amount of time, at least I was expected to mow the lawn. And it has nothing to do with how I got in the landscape business. In fact, it's really not related to it at all. That's a whole different story I won't get into today, but I was expected to work. And then when I got a little older, I used to ride with my dad to work, almost every day during the summer. And I would work for him, and I made minimum wage, and that was, you know, that's the way that it was. And I earned money so that I could do things. And so when I turned 18 and I wanted to move out, I had money. I had money to pay for the things I needed so that I could move out. Now, when I first moved out, I had a roommate, but I knew I had a work ethic. I learned the value of labor and the value of working for something and not having it given to you. And I think in this society, we're suffering a little bit from, you know, we just don't expect enough from our kids. We don't want to discipline them. We want to be their friends. And I've never been a fan of that. And, you know, it doesn't always work out. I mean, everything, there's exceptions to everything, but I think that we could go a long, long way in giving our kids a work ethic and teaching them, you know, the value of money and, you know, the value of hard work. It's, this country was built on the backs of people that were willing to work really, really hard. And, we've kind of lost some of that. So that's kind of a long tangent to go on to talk about the Habitat for Humanity. But that's, again, this is a potpourri show today. And so we're going to take a few of the things that are happening, and I'm going to take a little bit of a tangent on that. And in the last segment, we'll talk about the kind of the last few things going on with the sports at the high school. And since we weren't on the air last week, we had I hope you enjoyed the interview with Misty Jacob. That was one of my favorite recent shows. And since she was recently elected to the school board, I thought that would be a good interview to run. So I hope you enjoyed that. But anyhow, so we'll recap some of the sports that I missed in the last segment. And so those are the first two stories I wanted to talk about. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about, there was a program at the high school this past week that created a little bit of controversy. And I'm not going to so much get into the controversy of what was going on, but more along the lines of why people may have been a little upset about the particular subject matter. And so that's what we're going to talk about next. So we will be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting on 100,000 milliwatts.
Don't try this at home.
Ow! 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with NBA playoff action. The Cleveland Cavaliers last night, oh, they did it. They're back in the league championship series, clobbering the Celtics 135-102 in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. That outcome sets up a third straight finals matchup between the Cavs and the Golden State Warriors. It's the one we all wanted, right? LeBron James scored 35 points and passed Michael Jordan as the NBA career points leader in the postseason. Says he's honored to be mentioned with MJ.
I think I fell in love with the game because of Mike, for seeing what he was able to accomplish. For my name to come up in a discussion with the greatest basketball player of all time, it was like, wow.
Kyrie Irving finished with 24 points. Kevin Love added 15. The Cavaliers are 12-1 in the playoffs as they seek their second straight championship. The Warriors would like to regain the title they earned by beating the Cavaliers back in the 2015 finals. So game one is all set for Thursday. They'll play it in Oakland. This is SRN Sports. NHL playoff action last night. The Pittsburgh Penguins are in line now to become the first team to win back-to-back Stanley Cup since the 1997-98 Detroit Red Wings. The Pens have advanced to the finals by outlasting Ottawa as Chris Kunitz scored 5:09 into double overtime for a 3-2 win over the Senators in Pittsburgh. Kunitz also opened the scoring midway through the second period, but the Penguins blew a couple of leads. Game one with the Nashville Predators set for Pittsburgh on Monday. Major League Baseball in the American League yesterday, a light schedule. Tampa Bay 4, Angels nothing. Boston beat Texas 6-2, Houston 7, and the Tigers 6. Royals and Yankees rained out. In the National League, Pittsburgh 9, Atlanta 4. The Phillies beat Colorado 2-1 and 11. Cubs 5, Giants 1. San Diego over the Mets 4-3, Arizona 4, Milwaukee nothing. Dodgers over St. Louis 7-3, Seattle 4, Nats 2. Cincinnati and Cleveland were rained out. This is SRN Sports.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And as I mentioned at the outset, if you'd like to call the show, I'd love to hear from you today. The next subject we're going to talk about, I would have to guess that some of you have an opinion about, and I'd love to hear what that opinion is. So that number is 541-299-0498. One more time, 541-299-0498. And what I wanted to talk about this past week at the high school, and actually I believe this involved the middle school and the high school, which are obviously all housed in the same building. They had SART there. Now, first of all, what the SART program is the Jackson County Sexual Assault Response Team. Now, first of all, that sounds a little ominous. You know, why do we need the response team at the school? Well, I don't think there was any imminent danger to any of the students, but they have a let's call it an outreach program or a educational program that they present to the students. And part of what they were talking about was the awareness of sexual assault and what that means, what defines sexual assault, and, you know, things that they think that the kids should be, you know, they should be aware of. And the reason it caused some controversy is there was no message sent out to the parents ahead of time, letting them know. And as you know, on I've had Principal Wright on the show a couple of times, and I'm a big fan of hers. I think she's doing a great job there. And so this isn't about, you know, calling her out. In fact, in Brian Mortensen's article in the Rogue River Press, she took, you know, responsibility for the fact that, you know, she knows now that, you know, she should have notified the parents ahead of time to give them the option of whether they wanted their student to participate in this activity. And but the reason, again, what I think the controversy is more is not that people weren't told ahead of time, although that probably should have happened. It's worrying on the case, you know, in the case of some of the parents, worrying about what the content of this information is. It's the same along the lines when they're talking about drugs or they're talking about sex education. And these things all can be very controversial if the subject matter isn't being covered properly. And again, I wasn't there. I don't know how it was covered. I think that they probably do a pretty good job of covering that properly. But the thing that one of the things that it sort of touches off with me is, well, let me back up just a bit. One of the things that was mentioned was that they did have a therapist on hand in case any of the students were triggered. And again, I don't want this to be so much as I'm, you know, beating up on the administration for this, but if you knew that the material was controversial enough that a student might be triggered, and obviously, you know, if you're talking about rape and sexual assault, it's very possible that there's students that have dealt with this issue in one way or another, either directly or indirectly. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities that counselor would need to be there in case someone was triggered. I hate the word triggered, but that's the word they're using. And I guess it does apply. It's become such a pejorative and been overused in the recent past that it kind of drives me nuts, but we'll stick with it since that's the term that they use. But if you knew that was a possibility, that you needed to have a counselor there, then you had to know that you have to let the parents know ahead of time. I mean, if you have a son or a daughter that's been sexually assaulted, you're probably going to keep them home for this day. You're not going to send them to school. And so I wanted to kind of back up and hit that a little bit. It's like, you know, come on, this is touchy stuff. And, you know, you knew you needed a counselor there. You should have known that you've got to let people know ahead of time. I mean, it's better to avoid the triggering altogether than to have to send the counselor to deal with it. So I wanted to back up and kind of hit that a little bit. But let's go back to the content of this. And I'm not going to talk about this specifically, but more in a general sense. I mean, I'll talk about the specifics of this one to make my point, but I want to use it more in general terms of a lot of times we get information and we may not, as parents, like in a school situation, we may not agree with you know, what's being told to our kids. Now, I try and be pretty active in my kids' school life. Take my son, for instance. He's my third of my three children. And we talk openly about different things that they talk about at school. Like if they have an assembly and they talk about drug addiction or something along those lines, he'll come home and tell me about it. He'll tell me what they talked about. He'll tell me what he thought about it, how he felt about it. He might even mention that he has classmates that, you know, have had problems and whatever. And whether, you know, in most cases, because he tends to be a fairly thoughtful person in general, a lot of times he'll tell me stuff just that without mentioning names, because it's not necessary for the story, and he understands that. And I applaud him for that sort of awareness, because even I don't always have that. I try to on the air, but I don't even always have that much awareness. But what I'm getting at is we communicate about these things. And so if something troubling is said in the school, I can deal with that if I feel I need to. I usually don't. You know, my kids, for the most part, can discern, you know, what they believe, what they don't believe, what fits their morals and their reality, and what may just be things that they don't, you know, don't necessarily agree with. But the example I would use, like, for instance, with this, with sexual assault, the first place that we always go in society when it comes to sexual assault is, you know, in no way can we blame the victim. And I agree with that 100%. There's no excuse for any kind of sexual assault, whether it's, you know, a man assaulting a woman or vice versa or same sex. It's never right, and we can never blame the victim. But in saying something like that, what happens is we throw out good advice in order to play this, you know, protectionist, you know, we go out of our way, don't blame the victim. Well, we cannot blame the victim and still give good advice. You know, some of you may listen to the morning show, Pastor Gigline's show, Once for All. And on Fridays, I'm a guest on that show. And we weren't live today. Pastor Gigline's on vacation this week. But we talk about kind of the Christian world meeting the I almost said the real world. That's not quite what I mean from that, but the more political side of things and the religious point of view. And we kind of hash those things out. And one of the things that has been kind of a recurring theme based on, you know, some of the current events has been the way society we've gotten to the point where we're just trying to completely ignore the differences between men and women. And that's a terrible road to go down. There's vast differences between men and women. And when we start pretending that there's not, we're getting ourselves into trouble. And the reason I mention that is, again, I don't want this to be construed as any other thing, is that you just don't throw out good advice in order to, you know, have some end that it really doesn't meet. And what I mean by that is we know mostly sexual assaults involve men attacking somebody, usually a woman or a girl, but sometimes it's, you know, it can be another male. And there's a reason for that, because men and women are different, and men are more prone to that type of sinful behavior than women are. And so knowing that there's a difference between men and women, it's not blaming the victim to counsel a girl to say, you know, don't dress a certain way, especially in certain situations. That doesn't mean if you dress that way, it's your fault if you get raped. That's a ridiculous statement, and it gets said all the time. But what it, again, and it, and I'll kind of tie this to the whole, you know, birth control debate, the same kind of thing happens. But to say, you know, to stay out of certain situations that can be troublesome, like, you know, a party where there's lots of boys there or men or whatever, and there's a lot of drinking and whatever. Well, we already know that men are lousy at controlling their behavior at times compared to women. And then you add alcohol, it's worse. Now, again, if two people are drunk and the guy rapes the woman, it's not her fault. Nobody's blaming her. But that doesn't mean we don't counsel our daughters and the girls in our society to take precautions that they're just common sense. It's not a matter of shifting blame. Nobody, I mean, I shouldn't say nobody, because there are some Neanderthals out there that, you know, well, she's asking for it. You know, that's a bunch of baloney. And you know, deep in their heart, they probably know that, but they're, you know, they were probably brought up in such a way that, you know, they're just too stupid to know any better. But for most of us, we have common sense, and we can discern the difference between good advice and blame shifting. And that's where something like this, you worry about what information is being presented. Are you giving a good look at this? And again, I trust Principal Wright. I think that she's, you know, her judgment is generally very good. And I think that if she felt this program was good enough for the students, it probably was. Did she make a mistake in not letting the parents know? Yeah, absolutely. But again, overall, I think that the subject matter was probably handled well. But it, again, it does give that, it gives that example of, you know, are things being presented? Are we getting both sides? You know, we've heard news stories of schools that were, you know, teaching Muslim education, teaching about Islam and getting into it pretty, taking it a step further than just talking about it as part of a social studies class. And, you know, there has to be, there's a line there that we don't need to cross in the schools. And so, and maybe in that particular instance, you know, maybe a line was crossed. And so, again, this is in the same kind of thing. How much extra things like sex education, religious studies, how many of those things do we really need the school to be doing? In fact, there's another article this week in the paper, and again, I don't normally spend a lot of time plugging the Rogue River Press, but this week there was quite a few stories in the community that they were talking about, and one of the other stories was about attendance in the schools. And I'm not going to get into that story today, except to say that we're, and I've kind of lost my, where I was going with this, but so they're talking about how important attendance is, and that they're giving some, you know, incentives to try and get the attendance numbers up. And again, that's a whole nother issue I could get into that we're not going to talk about today. But the reason that they say that it's important is because they need those kids to be in school to get the schoolwork done and to learn the things they're supposed to learn. Yet, you know, every other week the kids are going to some assembly, and some of them are for fun and they're spirit building stuff, and some of them are serious nature, like this, you know, sexual assault education, and sometimes it's on drugs. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing those things, but we have to figure out which ones are important enough for the schools to deal with, when we know we're being told we need these kids in school so we can teach them. Well, I want you to teach them the subjects that they're there to learn. Again, I'm not against these assemblies, but or these types of programs, I just wonder if sometimes we spend too much time on these kinds of things. But kind of getting back to what I was saying about, you know, we can give advice. And again, that doesn't exclude the men on this side, too. There's plenty of advice we should be giving our sons about how to stay out of situations as well. And even if it's, you know, innocent mistakes that aren't necessarily what most of us would consider assault, they still can get themselves into, you know, bad situations. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine today about this subject. And, you know, one of the things she mentioned that I hadn't given a lot of thought to was that, you know, if we need to have a dialogue with our kids, we can't rely on the school to take care of these matters for us. That's not what the school is there for. Now they try and tackle some of these issues, but that's not really what they're there for. And we need to handle these head on. And you know, she mentioned that when her kids were going through school and whatever, you know, she gave them some pretty graphic information about sexually transmitted diseases and some of the things that you can get that there's no cure for. I mean, you know, herpes, for instance, it's not necessarily the end of the world, but it's something you'll deal with your whole life if you have it. And it's again, those kinds of things, if we would do more as parents to prep our kids to go out into the world and not just throw them to the school and say, here, you take care of it, you know, that would be much better. But the correlation I wanted to draw, and I'm kind of jumping around here, but the correlation I wanted to draw with the sex education issue, recently when they were covering that in the school, and my son came home to talk to me about what they had talked about again, and he asked about talking about abstinence. And the answer that he got, was a little disappointing to me, because they said, well, it's not realistic to expect kids to abstain from sexual activity, so we don't really need to waste a lot of time talking about that. And I was just frozen to hear that, because it doesn't matter if you think it won't sink into the kids to tell them about abstinence. Isn't that where sexual education should start? Isn't that the beginning, where we say the only 100% way you can avoid a sexually transmitted disease, or you can avoid a pregnancy, is abstinence? There is no method of birth control that is 100% effective at preventing either disease or pregnancy. There's plenty of you out there that know that birth control has failed because you have children to show for it. And so we know this. It's just, I mean, this is not opinions. These are facts. You can have your own opinion, but you don't get to have your own facts. The fact is, the only 100% sure method of not getting pregnant and not getting a sexually transmitted disease, other than maybe there are some that can be spread other ways, but let's not get into the weeds too much, is abstinence. So sex education talk should start there. If you want to show them how to put a condom onto a cucumber, fine. I'm not crazy about it, but fine, do that. Teach them about the types of birth control. That's great. It's probably not how I would like it handled through the school, but I understand that there's parents that aren't involved in their kids' life. So if the school's giving them that information, I mean, it's better than going out and trying to find it on the internet, I guess. So, but it should start with abstinence. And it's the same kind of thing. I worry with these kinds of programs that, are there things that are getting left out, and why are they getting left out? And again, if anybody is conflating what I'm saying with, you know, victim blaming, you might as well move on to another show, because that's not me. That's not who I am. But it scares me when we start leaving out information, because it might offend somebody, or it might, be construed in a certain way. Well, some of the information that you are teaching offends me, and you don't seem to care about that. So why are we worried that what I think that is a legitimate thought, and a lot of other people I'm sure feel the same way, why is that so controversial, but what you're teaching is fine? Who gets to make that decision? And that's where I get, where I worry about these kinds of things. And again, I am not talking specifically about what happened this week at the school. I trust our district. I think they do a pretty good job. I'm sure it was handled fine. But these things in general, they concern me. So I'd love to hear what you think about that. You can reach us at feedback@943thebridge.com, or you can message me on the Rogue Talk Facebook page. And looks like we've got somebody on the line here, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll see who our caller is. And so don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump is blaming evil organizations of terror and a thuggish ideology for an attack on Coptic Christians in Egypt that killed at least 28 people, including children. In a strongly worded statement, Mr. Trump refers to the merciless slaughter of Christians and says a wound is inflicted upon humanity every time innocent blood is spilled. He says Friday's attack on a bus taking the worshipers to a monastery south of Cairo should bring nations together to crush evil organizations of terror. Trump adds that the U.S. stands with the Egyptian people in the fight against terrorism. With North Korea's nuclear missile threat in mind, the Pentagon is planning a missile defense test next week that for the first time will target an intercontinental range missile. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 3 points, the NASDAQ rose 5, the S&P advanced 1, oil up to $49.80 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimer, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers, 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and as I mentioned before the break, we've got a caller on the line here, so let's see who's there. Hi, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Hi, it's Cameron.
Hey, it's the Rogue Talk mascot. How you doing, Cameron?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Well, there's a couple of things I'd love to talk to you about. First of all, the main thing we were talking about today on the show was the sexual assault awareness thing that was going on in the school. And so since I got you on the line, were you there? You were there for that program this week?
Yes. One of our class periods they use to teach us about, you know, the problems with sexual assault and more of a, like, getting aware of it and, like, being able to, like, help someone or help yourself from those situations.
So do you think that they handled the subject pretty well? Were you happy with the information that you were given?
Yeah, I think taught us a lot about it. I mean, there were certain things that I didn't think actually retained to what we're talking about, but overall it was pretty good at getting the word out to what it was all about.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's good, because I was talking about kind of more in general about assemblies like that and programs like that, and what I felt like sometimes those things can get presented maybe not in the right way. So it's good to hear the information they presented you found very helpful. So that's good. So now we can get away from that. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that, since that's what we were talking about today. But I think I know you what you called in for, because there was a game last night and between the Cavaliers and the Celtics, and of course the Cavaliers won that game. And so what does that mean now?
Hey, round three of the NBA Finals between the Warriors and Cavs. That's the third time they'll be playing against each other in the last 3 years.
Last three seasons, sure.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, you're a huge LeBron James fan, right? Maybe not. Kevin Durant, let's say.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so I got the right one now. So let's, since we got you here and you've been our I can't even get the word out, the prognosticator for the Rogue Talk show, what do you think's gonna, how this series is gonna go?
I think it'll go more of five or six games. I don't think it'll go all the way to seven games, because I think the Warriors wise will shut them down. I mean, because they're good at defense and they can find a way to shut down LeBron. And as you saw in the Celtics Cavs series, the way Boston won game three was, you know, shut down LeBron. Don't allow him to score more than 15 points a game, and you can win that game, because you're not going to get a lot of firepower from Kevin Love. So I think it'll go five or six, because I think the Warriors will figure out how to defend LeBron, and then I think they can take the title.
Yeah, and who on the Warriors is going to have, you know, which two or three guys are really gonna have to do the job against LeBron?
I think either Kevin Durant or Andre Iguodala. I think Andre Iguodala is good at shutting him down the first time they won the championship. Kevin Durant's big, lengthy, and I think he can stop LeBron.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that's a difference that we're going to see this year as opposed to last year, is the addition of Kevin Durant. I mean, obviously on the offensive end, he's given you something that you know, they didn't have last year for sure. But the thing that gets lost in all that, he doesn't necessarily get recognized for his defense all the time. But one of the things he does defensively, and the Warriors have another guy that also is this way, is he's just so long. He covers a lot of space, and he's very athletic. And of course, they have Sean Livingston, who, you know, by trade is a point guard, but he's a big, tall guy with long arms, and that's a, it's a big difference. That's going to be where Andre Iguodala, he does it with his quickness and his quick hands, and he likes to get the ball on the way up. These guys can defend above the rim, and that's a difference that LeBron didn't see last year.
Yeah, and I think that there's where he's going to have a tough time scoring as easily as he usually does, is the lengthy of Kevin Durant. Is, you know, his wingspan's pretty long, he's tall, and he's pretty quick.
Yeah, so you're saying four or five games?
Yeah, I'll say long as he'll go, Warriors in six.
Oh, now we're going to, yeah, that's where I was landing. I was going five or six. I'd love to see it end in four or five. But, I mean, let's face it, despite being the second seed in the East, the Cavaliers really are the number one team in the East. I mean, Boston kind of was doing it with smoke and mirrors, and without Isaiah, they were in real trouble. So,
well, and by seeing how the group of guys without Isaiah in that game three come back, it just shows that there is a way to stop the Cavaliers, and I think the Warriors would have their number.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So starting next Thursday, for those of you that enjoy the NBA, the Warriors and the Cavs tip it off. I believe that first game's at 6 o'clock on Thursday night, and that'll be at Oracle in Oakland. And so that'll be a lot of fun. And of course, we'll try and get Cameron on again to talk about that, because we, if you haven't figured it out yet, we love sports and we really love the Warriors. So, well, Cameron, thanks a lot for calling the show. I got a couple more things I want to get to here before we end the show, but thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. So that was the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron, my son, and we're pretty excited about the NBA Finals coming up, and so I knew he wanted to call in and talk about that, and I was happy to get his take on that, that the sexual awareness or sexual assault awareness thing going on at the school that we talked about. So I was glad to kind of get his opinion on that and his take on that. So a couple of events and a couple other things I wanted to talk about. I because we missed a show last week, I did want to mention, if I didn't get to this before, that we had the state meet for the track and field, and we did get one person placed at the meet, a fifth place finish for Derek Pratt in the high jump. So we wanted to salute Derek for doing a great job there. And actually, And he even said that it was a little bit disappointing for him, because the winning jump was, he could jump that high. He wasn't able to do it at the state meet, but had he been able to meet or even exceed his personal best for this season, he could have won the meet. So he was a little disappointed in that, but he made a great showing. He was fifth in the state, and so we wanted to salute Derek for that. And then this past Wednesday, some of you may have been listening, we had the playoff game for the Lady Chieftain softball team. And unfortunately, it didn't go as well as we hoped. It was a 6-0 game going into the fourth inning. And it really, even though they were really overmatched in that game, at 6-0, you still felt like they had a shot. They could come back and win it. They're a really, really good team. The game started out kind of shaky. You could tell there were some jitters, some playoff jitters. And actually, there was some on both sides. There was actually, there was errors made by both teams. But when you're the number 15 seed, they're actually ranked 19th in the state, but they were the 15th seed in the tournament, going against the number 2 seed in the state, you really could see the difference in the two teams. I said to Cameron, who was actually helping me with color announcing that game, we had talked about that it's the top, I don't know, 5 teams or so, they're really a step above the rest of the conference or the rest of the state as far as, ability and whatever. And it really started to show when the fourth inning came around, and they gave up 9 runs in the fourth inning and lost 15-0 in 5 innings. But that's no reflection of the season they've had. What a great season for these girls, and a fairly young team. We're losing a few seniors, but there's also a lot of younger girls on that team, and they did a great job. And in fact, I hope to get one or two of them on the show before school lets out this year. And so we're going to about run out of time here, but I want to thank Cameron for calling in, and I want to thank the Lady Chiefs for letting me cover that game. And everybody, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's hometown voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.